Hey everyone, today we're going to talk about Spiral Dynamics Stage Orange. This is a continuation of this series I've been doing on Spiral Dynamics. And if you don't know what Spiral Dynamics is, I recommend you go and check out the other videos in this playlist before you come back to Stage Orange. This is a Deep Psychology podcast. I'm your host, Ross Edwards, writer, meditation teacher, founder of deep-psychology.com, and avid lover of all things psychological. In listening to this podcast, you're part of the worldwide Deep Psychology community of tens of thousands of people undertaking profound personal transformation. You can join us on any of the major podcasting platforms, and make sure to visit the site deep-psychology.com for lots of high quality resources. Let's get started. So what are we going to cover? We're going to cover the key aspects of orange, how to identify orange in yourself, how to identify orange in human history. We're also going to cover what it's like for you personally to live through orange in a very concrete way. We're also going to talk about why people might go beyond orange. You know, what happens when we start to leave orange behind in our lives? This is all what we're going to be talking about today. So before we get into stage orange, I just want to say a few things about what a stage is, because spiral dynamics is a very misinterpreted model. People misinterpret the purpose of it and what it's really trying to say, right? So I want you to get clear what a stage is. And this will be helpful when we're talking about orange, because it's very easy to misinterpret the model and therefore misinterpret the orange stage as a whole. So a stage is a system, like a psychological system, that dominates for a certain chronological period of time in your personal life. So the importance of that is that if you look at your personal life, you will start to see these stages. You will see stage orange as well. I'm kind of assuming in this video that a lot of you have either been through stage orange, or you're there, or you're maybe starting to go to that place. It's a very dominant stage, as we're going to talk about. So keep that in mind. It's not just that orange appears in a certain time of your life. It's actually that it tends to dominate for a specific period. When I look back on my life, I can see my dominant orange period. It's quite obvious to me. So it's really important to keep that in mind as you use this model for your own self-understanding, because knowing that it's a system that dominates for a certain period of your life, the period isn't defined, but you'll usually be able to see it. That's really useful. Orange, or a stage, I should say, but we're talking about orange, so an orange is a stage. It's a new set of worldviews, values, skills, and motivations that remain active once you pass through the dominant phase. So though I'm saying that orange will dominate for a certain period of time in your life, and this is true of any stage, the actual sort of, it's not like it just completely disappears. It's just that you build on top of it, you recontextualize it, and new stages come online. New psychological systems come online. You go through another period. You go through another period of dominance, or several of them. Orange will remain alive and well within you. This is really important, because the goal here is not to push off of orange and just forget about it and leave it behind. I think a lot of teachers make that mistake, and it's kind of implicit in the model, the fact that we divide it into stages. And you know, that's because we need to explain it, of course, and it's easier to explain when we talk about stages. And the chunking it into stages does have a use. The problem is that we're not just supposed to forget about orange, push away from it, leave it behind, because we won't actually leave it behind. And if we do, or if we try to, we're just we're only hurting ourselves, really. All stages are individual and collective. Stage orange is the same. It's both individual and collective. You can see it in yourself. You can see it in other people. You can see it in human history. You can see it in human society. It's orange is all around us. And it's likely in you, whether you know it or not. It's one of the dominant psychological systems. It's one of the dominant modes of human functioning. And because we've all been born into it, well, I certainly have, and if you're watching this video, you probably have been, at least to some extent, it's actually really hard to see orange and understand it for what it is. It's hard to see it as a system, as like this self-enforcing sort of bundle of values and worldviews and psychological traits and so on. It's hard to see it like that because we confuse these things with reality and with life and what life is really all about. And that's what happens when we're in a stage. We just take it to be the only way of living, of being alive, of valuing, of seeing the world and so on. It's all around us. And I actually want you to look at this. I want you to look around for orange in yourself and in others and in the media and in society and in history and so on. Once you start to do that, you'll really start to appreciate how orange came, what its contributions are, what its limitations are, and so on and so forth. In spiral dynamics, specifically the model of spiral dynamics, a stage is a set of worldviews, psychology, and values, right? That's how I split it up. It's not just values. People often say that spiral dynamics is just about value systems. I don't really agree with that. If you read the spiral dynamics theory, it talks about a lot more than just values, right? And this is true for orange, it's true for all stages. One thing I'll say also about orange is that it pretty much appears in all developmental models that I've ever found. It's in spiral dynamics, it's in Graves' original model, it's in Suzanne Cook-Reuter's work, it's in Ken Wilber's work, and there's many, many other areas it's in. I couldn't really name all the models that I've studied, but it's a very well-established psychological system or psychological stage or stage of development, right? So though if you're listening to someone talking about stage orange, you shouldn't just listen to everything they're saying and take it as gospel, and that includes me. Also realize that though we might disagree on like the certain aspects of orange, the psychological level is certainly there. It's like very well established by the theory. And so we can be pretty reliable. The last episode I filmed was on stage turquoise, and I was basically saying the opposite there. We don't really know exactly what turquoise is about. It's not really the same for orange. We've got a pretty good handle on it. And last thing I want to say is that in terms of stage orange, we're going to now transition to talking just general terms what stage orange is. Is that, as I said, because stage orange is so rampant and we're born into it and it's kind of misleading and an exaggeration to say that we're indoctrinated into orange, because we're always going to be indoctrinated into some level of psychological development, depending on where we're brought up and depending on the zeitgeist and so on. But we are flooded with orange values from a very young age, right? And what basically happens is that orange will influence pretty much every facet of our lives. If we're like a normal sort of average person in first world society, developed society, industrial country or informational, you're going to be dominated by orange in many important ways. And unless you sort of go beyond what is around you, it's going to infect your value system, your worldviews, your motivations, what you hold to be true, how you understand what truth is, how you understand what life is, how you understand what relationships are, right? It's it's so all-encompassing that it's hard to even begin to describe how all-encompassing it is. Let's just say that if it affects everything that you do and everything that you think. So it's difficult to see orange for that reason. It's easier to see other stages because we've probably grown through them. A lot of us watching this, and even myself, to be quite honest, maybe haven't completely left orange behind as a dominant system, right? And it's probably deeply embedded in our subconscious minds, right? So I just want you to be aware. When I'm talking about this stuff, you might think, oh, well, that's just obvious. Or, oh, well, that isn't a value. That isn't a worldview. That's just how things are, right? That's because stage orange is very dominant. Often, what I also want to say, just as to start to warm up and start to get into the characteristics of orange, often orange is talked about very negatively. People who study this model, people who teach these theories and models about human development, they often have developed beyond orange, and they've legitimately seen the limitations of it. The problem is, I find, and I've fallen guilty of this myself when I've spoken about these topics in the past, is demonizing earlier stages or stages that I feel like I've seen beyond to a certain degree. All stages are very important, and you cannot really function without them. I'm not saying, okay, if we're talking about more advanced stages, possibly we can. Functioning without orange in certain societies is not really an option. And orange isn't an unhealthy system in and of itself. It can look very unhealthy and over the top and exaggerated and sort of like disgusting when you quote very obvious examples that are easy to pick on, easy to ridicule, right? So I'm going to try not to fall into that trap. And obviously I'm going to bring in my own biases here, my own allergies to orange, my own addictions to orange. I just want to say that I will try to minimize that as much as possible. And I'm going to just encourage you to realize that I will not have a perfect relationship to stage orange, right? So that's just a warning. I also want you to contemplate the fact that before orange comes online, that none of the characteristics and skills and the pros and the contributions of orange exist for you. None of them exist for you. It's easy to take these things for granted. It's easy to just say, oh, well, that's where we should develop to, because that's normal human development. And yes, you're right. But also you have to realize that 200 years ago, possibly, you wouldn't, even if you were in America or like a first world country, you might not have gone into orange at all. And if you're born in like a very fundamentalist country, or you even brought up in a less developed country, like where warlords are still running things, orange is really beyond these people. And I don't say that to judge. I say it so that we realize not to take it for granted and to help us see it for what it actually is, okay? So some general features of orange. Orange is an express self stage. Spiral dynamic stages alter between express self and conform. So it's like an express self stage and a conformity stage. Express self, conformity. Orange is certainly an express self stage, and you can see this in the characteristics of orange. A lot of them are novel, but also a lot of them are actually, a lot of it's pushing against stage blue, which is sort of conforms to authority, conforms to social expectations, conforms to the expectations of superiors. It doesn't have much of like a sense of, we don't have much of a sense of who we are at Blue in the terms of how we would understand that now. We're sort of embedded in our social surround, and our identity is very confused with that. We are stuck in ideology and belief and following the rules and so on. A lot of Orange is reacting against Blue, right? And this helps you appreciate what Orange is, and it helps you see that it's necessary for developing further as a human being. And it helps you just understand where Orange gets its kind of characteristics from, where it gets its energy from, where it gets its unique profile from. A lot of it is just pushing against Blue. In general, we can say that Orange is more of a logical, analytical, masculine stage, whereas stage Green, for example, is more feminine, more heart-centered, more intuitive, and so on. Orange is the awakening of an autonomous adult identity for the first time in our development. Very important. Again, the stage Orange characteristics do not appear in our development before we reach stage Orange. It's a huge stage in Western democracies in the first world. However, I've said that already, but there's something else I want to say, that it's now, because Western democracies in the first world is basically native English countries are in charge of the media, social media. That's where all the new technology comes from. That's a lot of innovation comes from there. And even the countries that aren't, say, native English and are not maybe fully first world countries, the innovators there are most, they're coming from Orange, a lot of them, and they've absorbed Western culture. What's my point here? The Orange is, if you look across the globe at sort of media and entertainment and worldviews, Orange is extraordinarily dominant. Obviously, there's a lot of traditional, there's a big traditional strata, and there's pre-traditional strata, and there's post-Orange as well. But in terms of like what is most in your face, I'd say it's probably stage Orange, right? And again, that's why it's difficult to see it as a stage of development, because it's just all around you, right? Can fish see the water? No. Can you see Orange? Not so easy to see Orange. Orange is also called achiever. It's called rational. It's called strive, drive. All right. So we're going to be using these terms like achiever, rational, strive, drive over and over again in this talk. And I just want you to know that these are basically other names for Orange that give you an idea as to what Orange is really about. All right, let's go now into a lot of detail into the characteristics of Orange. And we're going to divide this section into two parts. We're going to do individual characteristics, sort of Orange traits that you can see in yourself and you can see in other people. And also we're going to talk about collective Orange. Where did Orange begin? What were the first appearances of Orange in human history? And what does Orange look like now? How can you look around you at culture and society and see Orange, right? And both of these are very important. We want to carefully separate them. They are obviously not really separate. You know, the way you express Orange is a result of how Orange has sort of developed as a psychological system over time. And it's also an effect of how your culture expresses it, right? But I also don't want you to mix up individual Orange traits from collective Orange traits. I find that people often don't make this discrimination and it can be quite confusing. So I'm going to be very clear about it. Let's start with individual Orange. You know, what are the worldviews, the psychology and the values of an individual person in stage Orange? Well, let's talk about when it tends to appear, right? So if you're living in like a modern democracy, it tends to come up in your teenage years when you start to push against the authority of your parents. Now, this might not come up in your teenage years. It might not come up until you've actually left home. It might not even come up at all for you, right? However, when you start getting this identity and you start saying, well, don't tell me what to do. I want to do this. I want to go and see my friends. I want to go out with this person or date. If you're in America, we say go out with someone in Britain. When you start getting a bit of an identity when you're a teenager and your mum and dad start to despair a little bit, that's sort of the beginning of orange. It's the beginning of your autonomy, right? It's leaving home. This, again, you don't have to necessarily leave home to start to move into orange dominance, but it helps. And you might leave home and never actually move into orange dominance. You might still remain very embedded in, you know, the values you've picked up in the very early years of your life and in sort of your family surrounding and your home environment. Well, that's fine. You can not leave home and still leave home emotionally. You know, you can start to move into orange and start to develop your autonomy, start to develop your own likes and dislikes and way of doing things, your own ideas about what life is about, without necessarily separating from your family, right? But we can say that leaving home emotionally, not necessarily physically, is sort of the start of stage orange. Robert Keegan calls this the self-authoring stage. And I like this term because basically up until this point in our development, remember that self-authoring, that trait, for example, did not exist for us up until this point in our development. And basically up until now, where other people basically run our life for us. And they basically, we feel like we have a sense of identity, but really our identity is very much enmeshed with theirs and their own ideas and their own values, worldviews, their own life history. And we aren't sort of writing the novel ourselves. We're other people are essentially making all our decisions for us. So this is a beginning of ambition. It's the beginning of autonomy. It's the beginning of taking charge for your own life. And it's the start of you building the life you want. It's the start of you knowing who you are and what you value, what you like, what do you want out of life, and so on. That also isn't an absolute given, by the way, because orange isn't the only express self stage. There's yellow, which is two stages ahead of orange, is also an express self stage. But let's just say it's the beginning of like real making choices and sort of planning and becoming ambitious and becoming autonomous and so on. All right, now let's talk about the quintessential orange worldview. So at orange, we believe that the world is measurable, objective, physical, three-dimensional, predictable, and linear. I shouldn't really say believe. I use that word a bit frivolously there. What we should really say is that this is how we perceive the world to be. Before this, we did not see the world in this way. For thousands of years, human beings did not see the world in this way, right? So what happens is a new world comes online for us, right? We suddenly realize that we can measure things, that there is actually objective facts, that the world is physical, that it's predictable, it's linear, past, present, and future, and so on, right? And as we see when we talk about collective orange, this is really what science is based on, modern science, right? Without this worldview, there is no science. It's also a secular worldview. Crucial thing to realize here, secularity and sort of the lack of divinity in the world, this starts to become a self-evident truth at orange, right? So this is why, basically, let me just step back a little bit. When we move into orange, it's not just that we adopt a better idea of the world being free of divinity or of it being measurable and objective and physical. It's actually that it's self-evident that the world is that way. That is how the world seems to us, right? And that's why these stages of development are so incompatible sometimes, because the worldview is fundamentally different. and you cannot convince someone to see the world in a way that you do when they're at a level of development, or they're predominantly at a level of development where the self-evident worldview is completely different, right? So this is the worldview of Orange. It's like an awakening from myth and from belief and ideas. And we start to realize that there is actually patterns to the world, right? And this is a perception. It's a direct perception. It's not just an intellectual thing. We also see that the world is full of opportunities to win. So with the rise of autonomy, with us starting to become our own person, we start to become ambitious too, and we want to go out there and achieve things, right? We sort of, we realize all the opportunities that are out there for us to win, whether it's economically, whether that's in terms of like winning competitions, whether it's gaining recognition in any form. We start to see other people as competition. Whereas at Blue, we saw them as sort of our adversaries, or our the people that were brought up in the same surround as us, or that believed in the same religion as us, or whatever. We actually start to see them as competition now. We start to see them as winners and as people who could possibly threaten us with their competence, with their abilities, or losers, people that haven't made it in life, and people that have no, that do not threaten us at all. We start to see ourselves as an independent whole. So there's two important facets to that. It's like our self-identity really starts to solidify here. Beforehand, it wasn't so solid. We did have a sense of self, right? But it was enmeshed in our environment, in our relationships, in our roles. And we couldn't really separate ourselves from those things. We couldn't separate ourselves from our relationships to other people. For example, it's a much more complicated topic than that. Here we actually realize we are our own person, right? And we also believe that we are independent, that we can stand alone in this world. And one of the downsides of that is we don't really realize that actually we're not independent. We ourselves are a result of, you know, cultural factors, social factors, family, our background, the things that have happened in our past, and so on. And there is this kind of illusion of being like this independent, autonomous individual, like taken a little bit too far. And this explains a lot of the problems that come with Orange, actually, but we'll get to that. What happens at Orange is you start to feel that you have an unlimited opportunity to grow and to like get rich and to make money and to achieve things in this life. It's like this huge liberation of inner power, right? And a lot of that can be a bit of an illusion, frankly, but it's actually a very necessary and beautiful thing. It gives you the rocket fuel you need to actually, you know, go out there and be a successful person in the world. And it, frankly, it's a wonderful release from, for example, being purely embedded in your family surround and just like following what your parents were saying when you were a child. It's a wonderful boost of like energy and of motivation. And it's actually part of your worldview. I want you to realize that this is how the Orange world seems. We start to realize that this life is what matters. Obedience doesn't matter. The afterlife doesn't matter. So if we were brought up in like a strong fundamentalist religious background, pre-Orange, we probably believed that the afterlife was what was important and we should sacrifice for the afterlife, right? Or if you're brought up in a secular environment, but pre-Orange, and before you became Orange, you probably believed that what was important was to be a good little boy or a good little girl, or to be a good citizen, to be like an upstanding citizen, to never break the rules and so on. At Orange, we basically start to think that this life is what matters. Here and now is what matters. I'm going to make the most of my life. I'm going to enjoy my life to the full. And of course, as I said, this seems very obvious, but for thousands of years, people did not see the world in this way. for so many reasons that I can't get into now. We start to believe that humankind can be perfected through technology and science. Our worldview is scientific, rational, objective, right? So we really start to believe in science. We really start to take science very seriously, to listen for objective truth, to become skeptical, to want evidence for things, to not just take truth blindly from people who say that they know more than we do, or people that put themselves above us in some sort of hierarchy, which is a wonderful thing. It's really, it's a psychological development. It's a worldview development. It's a shift in how we make meaning. It's a shift in how we make sense of life. However, we can become very dogmatic. Any stage, we can sort of overdo it and take it too far. And Orange, and I know because I was like this, where, and it's very easy nowadays to get to do this because of our education system, because intellectual knowledge is very valued, because science is very revered, rightly so, but we can basically become scientific dogmatists, basically. We can fall into scientism. You know, we start to think that brains and atoms and the Big Bang are all that is really real. Nothing else is really real. Everything is just like a byproduct. Our entire psychology, our biology, all our desires is just the brain. It's just synapses. Or the entire world is just atoms. It's just tiny little bits of meaningless matter after all. Or all of this was all just like, it all came from a meaningless explosion 14 billion years ago. So this is sort of scientism, where we start reducing everything to what science tells us is true and most fundamental. Of course, without realizing the dramatic metaphysical limitations of what we're doing. Our worldviews can even become that the world is meaningless. It's all just random. It's infinite. It's like an infinite boxy physical three-dimensional universe, right? There's nothing else really to it. That's all it is. We dislike and distrust religion here because it totally goes against the scientific, rational worldview that things are predictable and objective and measurable and so on. Religion just cannot hold up anymore. What we actually tend to do is we tend to throw all of spirituality out because we just see it all as just as being belief, right? And that is a grave mistake. It's a great liberation, especially you were brought up in a traditional religious background, to see the limitations of religion and to see that a lot of it is just blind belief, essentially. At least from the rational point of view, it's a big awakening. It's like a big release. But also we can fall into the trap of just demonizing spirituality and not realizing that there's levels of spirituality that have nothing to do with belief. However, we can also feel a certain awe for science. We can feel a certain awe for the cosmos, you know, looking at the stars at night, looking and realizing how many light years we are away from the next galaxy, how far away the sun is, how the sun is just one of billions of stars in the universe. So that there is a kind of deeper meaning there, but it's all related to the physical world and sort of the measurable and the scientific paradigm. We can also feel a certain awe and reverence for the quantum levels of reality, you know, the world of like quantum mechanics and the weird mathematics that is involved there and the weird stuff that happens at the quantum level. So again, it's not like the world necessarily has to become meaningless and we need to become like depressed scientists that don't see any beauty in anything because we think it's just all physical matter. We can see wonder in even like the scientific paradigm. However, again, it's all within the rational scientific paradigm, for better and for worse. Our worldview includes ideas such as growth equals success. We're going to come back to this. and that intelligence equals IQ. So it's very reductionistic, Orange. I mean, all stages can be very reductionistic in their own way, but Orange reduces everything to what it understands, to like logic and measurable things, science, and you know, the things that fit within the Orange worldview. I guess, how could we do any different? We can't do any different, but it's just interesting to make these points so that you start to understand what Orange really is. So I said we're going to talk about worldview, psychology, and values of Orange in our individual lives. Let's talk about the psychology part. What is our psychology like in Orange? At Orange, our focus is on the next 5 to 10 years of our life, because it's sort of like the future opens up for us. Possibilities open up for us. We want to take charge of our lives. We discover our autonomy. And so we're looking sort of 5, 10 years. What can I achieve in the next 5, 10 years? Where am I going? Where can I get to? How much money can I make? We're looking at ourself now versus our ideal future self. Of course, the ideal future self is really defined in Orange terms, and it's basically success. It's like the ideal successful self, right? And yes, that is not the only possible paradigm there is. So if you feel like that's where your vision is limited, well, it's because Orange may be very dominant. We feel like we're the captain of the ship of our life. You know, we're behind the wheel. We're making the decisions. We've got things we want to do. We've got places we want to go. We want things we want to achieve. We've got goals. We've got promotions to get and so on. So it's like we're going somewhere. We're getting somewhere. This is how it feels. This is how our psychology is. At Orange, we can be highly self-conscious. As I said, our measure for success is basically, it's a material measure, right? We're going to talk about this more, but what this basically means is it makes us highly self-conscious because we're constantly measuring how successful are we according to our material success. And this therefore means that we're also comparing ourselves with other people, because it's quite easy to compare material success from one person to another. And so it kind of leaves us very open. In one sense, it gives us a way to measure ourselves and to feel good, to get self-esteem, but also it can be very debilitating, you know, because there's always someone with more. There's always like the rich people in town that you see that have more than you do. And at Orange, this can be very... it can be torture. Our psychology is about mobility and autonomy. So we're trying to move forward. We're trying to define what we want. We're trying to define goals. We're trying to climb up the social ladder, right? We're trying to make something of ourselves. We're trying to accumulate stuff. We're self-focused here. Again, this is an express self stage. Orange can be very self-focused, even self-centered, where it's just so wrapped up in its own goals and where what it wants to do, and it loses empathy completely for other people. This is where Orange can get very unhealthy for us. We can be very self-critical, because when we don't live up to our own goals and what we want and our targets for the next 5 or 10 years, it can just be a great source of suffering, because we feel like we've failed, we feel like we've wasted our lives, we start regretting and so on. We want to improve ourselves and break free from traditional shackles. And it's one of the great things of Orange, that we actually realize we are our own person. We're not defined by our family, our nation, where we brought up, our religious group, our school, the values that we were brought up with. It's like we are our own person, and we want to make something of ourselves. This did not always exist in human history. For a long time, it didn't exist. Not so long ago. It's a gift to be able to like define, the ability to build up your own life, to build up your finances, to go out there and achieve things, and to build things, and to, start businesses. This is just, it's very new. It feels... as I said, it feels very, you know, you might take it for granted, but this did not always exist. We're open to introspection and seeing our blind spots. At previous levels, we just don't have like the psychological machinery necessary for this. Now we're starting to sort of understand our behavior. You know, this thing we did led to that, which led to that, which led to that. And we're now starting to ask, you know, we're starting to look at the reasons, we're starting to sort of tweak things and try and improve based on feedback. And this is really important if you want to be successful, of course. We are convinced that happiness equals material success. This is a crucial point right here. Isn't it true that's how a lot of us view success, or that we view happiness? We think success is just material success, and we think happiness is when you achieve material success. Now, I'm not saying that material success isn't important, and I'm not going to say that it's necessarily, that I'm not going to tell you whether to believe in that or not. I'm just going to say that be aware that this is, it's like a worldview, it's an assumption, it's like part of your psychology. It's not the only worldview, it's not the only way to see life. However, as I said, in the modern world, this is kind of how we see things, right? As I said, we want to integrate orange, we want to realize that material success is actually pretty important, but maybe we might want to question this very simple equation right here. We project into the future. We start asking, you know, where am I going and how am I going to get there? We can often fail to live in the moment because we're just so concerned with our goals and our targets and getting the next promotion and earning more money. And whenever you reach a goal, what you might realize is that you just start concocting more. So you're never really just, it's like you just reach a certain point and you just sort of bliss out and you're happy with where you've got to. What you'll find is that actually goals are just never ending. It's like a never ending dig for more and more and more. And this can be very maddening, quite honestly. Work-life balance can be a problem because we just want to pump out. We sort of naively equate productivity with hours put in. We also want to uphold the image of, you know, like being, taking charge of ourselves, which is good, but also work-life balance is a huge problem nowadays. Our psychology is rational and empirical and scientific. I've mentioned this before. We can become manipulative. Often in orange, like the means, the end justifies the means. This is one of the more unhealthy manifestations of orange. As I said, we're quite self-focused here. It's express self. And often we're willing to impose our goals on others. We're willing to reach our goals even if other people need to get hurt in the process. It's kind of like, I don't really want to hurt you, but I will do it because I want to achieve what I want to achieve. I want to climb the corporate ladder, so I'll just do a dirty thing to my colleagues or whatever, because if I don't, I won't be climbing up. Family no longer has a huge cling on you. At previous stages, family, a lot of it, family really defines your identity in many ways. And you kind of feel like you have a separate identity of your own, but really a lot of it is just, it's like you are your parents or you are your other members of your family, or you are basically defined by them. Here you actually feel like quite disconnected from them. You're able to sort of critique your family for the first time. We're determined here. Orange has a lot of power and a lot of motivation behind it. It wants to, you know, it's autonomous. It wants to, you know, get things done. It wants to go places, achieve things, and so on. Loss of control is a major threat to us here because it undermines our entire worldview and our self-image and what we're working towards in life. If we're not in control, then we're not going places, we're not achieving things, we're not working towards the ideal self that we have. And so it's a big danger here to lose control. And also that we judge people according to their means and their success. It's sort of like we see the world as this giant hierarchy, and the people at the top are basically those with the most money, and the people at the bottom are those with least money, because the people at the top are the happiest, the people with the most money are the happiest, and the people with least money are the most miserable. And this is how a lot of us view life. Like, that is literally the only variable involved. And this is really, it's the orange way of looking at things, because you're basically judging yourself, and you're structuring your entire life around your own achievement and your own ideal future self. And so, of course, that extends to your worldview, and your entire psychology is infected by this. All right, let's now talk about some of the typical orange values, the ideas you will have about what is important in life when you're going through orange. You value winning the game. You value being number one. It's like you always want to be the best at everything. I remember sort of going through this phase, especially at school, where I couldn't stand not getting the best marks for everything. And I think it's still part of my psychology. I've got a very competitive streak, and I think it's probably based largely in this phase right here. We value self rather than authority because, again, this is an express self stage. And look out for this in yourself. Look out for this in other people. We value being the best we can be. And this, again, it's a self-centered search. That may sound judgmental. I guess what the point I'm making is that we're not developing ourselves so that we can do something great in the world. Usually, we're developing ourselves so that we can get more. We value pleasure. We value living the good life. This is where you eating steaks and champagne and caviar and having like fancy clothes and brands and all of this. It's like the shiny stuff, the stuff that is worth a lot of money. This is where it really matters. It's when orange brightens. We value winning the race, being number one. We value making life easy for ourselves. So this is a collective expression too. We'll talk about that, but it's kind of like at orange, you're always on the lookout for the next best thing, I think. It's kind of like you want the best of everything, the best technology, so that life is as easy as possible. You want, you know, I talked about pleasure there, and the two are really linked, because from our perspective at orange, the more pleasurable our life is, the easier things are, which you might start to question later on. We value freedom, and we're sort of allergic to government and bureaucracy and restrictions, and we want sort of free market, this kind of thing. We want tax reductions and so on, because we just see all of this stuff as a limit to personal freedom and the pursuit of self-interest. We value material possessions, and we value our image very highly. This is very crucial right here to realize that this is a value. It's not the only value. We really put a lot of stock in material possessions at this stage. I've alluded to this, but the car, the house, you know, the perfect wife, you know, the gadgets, even things like the haircut and the clothes and the watch and everything. It's like, this is what we're after in life. This is what we're after. We value independence rather than external authority. We value the end, not the means. And this is where orange can get very unhealthy. And we're going to talk about this when we talk about the collective manifestations of orange. But in your own life, you can start to justify things that you maybe otherwise wouldn't justify, but because they contribute to your success, they might not be the most ethical. You know, the means might be wrong, but the end is right. You know, you're getting your success. So I'll just trample on other people, or I'll forget about the environment, environmental impact of what I'm doing, and so on. We value the stereotypical conventional trappings of success. So it's interesting, you know, it's not just that we value material possessions and success. It's actually that we value the conventional ideas of success. So although I'm saying this is a very autonomous stage, it's autonomous in the sense that we're setting goals and we have like this plan, we have like this ideal self we want to reach and so on, and we're like the captain of our own ship. But actually, we're still not very original in the sense that all the things we're pursuing are very stereotypical and like very unoriginal. As I've said, I've listed a lot of them. All of this, the stuff that we equate with success is very, it's very conventional. And in that sense, we're still embedded in blue. We're still embedded in, you know, what does everyone else think of me and how do I fit into that? Except now it's what do people think of my success? It's not like what do they think of me morally, for example. We value success rather than meaning. And actually what I would say is that we tend to confuse the two. We tend to think that the more success we have, the more meaningful our lives will be. We value science and this discovery and knowledge. We can start to really accumulate knowledge as though like it gets us brownie points or it helps us stand out or it helps like build up our self-image. We want tangible results. So we want to sort of measure things, you know, how much better are things? You know, give me a scale of 1 to 10, give me a score. We don't really care about sort of the inner dimensions of things, you know, inner results. We care about things that you can point to, like the bank account and, you know, the score we get on a test, or, you know, the medals and so on, right? And we value winning to the expense of others and nature and animals and so on. And this is very crucial for understanding what is happening in collective humanity right now. All right, so we've done a nice thorough coverage of the individual aspects of Orange, the individual worldviews and values and the psychology of Orange on an individual level. Now we're going to talk about collective Orange. You know, where did Orange come from? What is the context for it? Why did it appear? What are the common manifestations of it? What are some of the unhealthy manifestations of it on a collective level? So Orange on a collective level is really modernity and the modern world. The modern world, because we're so seeped in it, it's really hard to even point to it because it's so all-encompassing. We can think of it, the modern world, in terms of our modern worldview, our modern technology, our modern cities, our modern laws, our modern values, our modern ideas of what is right and wrong. Everything that we associate with being modern is an Orange expression. What you notice in collective humanity right now is that it's all about more and growth and better. It's like everything is, we're trying to push things along constantly in terms of like optimizing and refining and making it better and making it more appealing to customers and making it more shiny and making it more aesthetic and so on. This drive is an Orange drive, for better or for worse. Orange originated largely in Europe during the Enlightenment period in the 18th century, I believe it was, but it's actually traceable back to the Greek philosophers. So think, the Enlightenment and the Renaissance, and also think back to the Greek philosophers. You know, Aristotle, for example, was doing scientific experiments thousands of years ago, And I'm not saying that he was a fully orange individual, but his worldview was orange and his way of determining truth was orange, right? We see orange in the expression of, or in people moving from countryside to the cities. So with industrialization, with the rise of electricity, business changed a lot. The way that we subsist has changed a lot. We're no longer all just growing crops in the countryside. We're now, well, maybe not so much now, but 100 years ago, 50 years ago, working in factories, working in coal mines, working with machines rather than doing the work, all the work ourselves. The rise of big business, the rise of huge urban centers where all the money is concentrated, that really wasn't such a big thing in traditional societies and agricultural societies. Most people were farmers. Most people grew their own food, sold it, traded it, and so on. And their life revolved around their work in the sense that they were living in the countryside for work. Now we live in the cities for work. And again, if you've grown up in a city, I grew up in a city, and it's hard to appreciate that because you just take it all completely for granted. Electricity is a collective orange expression. Electricity completely runs our entire life. it's hard to really fathom how important it is. It's one of the main reasons where we live, we have the society we do now. And it is one of the great propellers of modern society and modern technology. Celebrities are a sort of collective orange manifestation because they embody the ideal of orange. Like, the perfect orange person is a very rich, successful and person with this self-image of owning a lot of possessions and having material success and being acknowledged and recognized and having praise showered on them and so on. Entrepreneurship is a collective orange manifestation. I don't know exactly the details about this, but I suspect that in traditional societies, entrepreneurship just wasn't really much of a thing. Society was not capitalist. There wasn't the banks, the loans and the funding available, like investors. There wasn't as great many opportunities as there were. So this era of opportunity that has come in the modern world is an orange manifestation. It's a result of technology and the changing of laws and sort of inclusion and so on. Media nowadays, for better or for worse, media nowadays is extraordinarily orange. It's all about entertainment. It's all about sort of hedonism and pleasure, like short hits, quick hits. Who do you see? Rich people. Who do we want to see? We want to see rich people. A lot of the time, it's extraordinarily shallow. Media, if you want to find orange, look in media. Because you're going to find it. Modern America is obviously, a lot of America isn't orange, but if you look at the values, if you look at people's diets, if you look at people's lifestyles, if you look at their ideas of truth, if you look at how they live their life, if you look at their worldview, it's a lot of it is very orange. I've actually heard that modern America is the most medicated country in history, which is an interesting tidbit. And it just, that little tidbit can help you see the limitations of orange. I think America more so, because America is it's extraordinarily indulgent. And its business is I'd say America is sort of unhealthy orange, for reasons that we might talk about just in a minute or so here. Look for orange in modern America. You're going to find it. The self-help industry is a lot of it is very orange. It's about himself, becoming as rich as you can get, improving yourself, getting a better self-image, being able to afford more things, you know, project an image of success and so on, for better or for worse. Another interesting collective manifestation of orange is that in orange societies, everything is monetized. Everything. It's like once orange sees an opportunity, it wants to exploit. And if you look at society now, a lot of the things we do at some level are monetized, right? Sport, medicine, big pharma, education, housing, even the most basic stuff like the water supply, the electricity supply, the gas supply. Obviously, it depends on what country you're in, but a lot of these are big business. And now we're seeing problems with this. Like, we're seeing inequalities rising. We're seeing that education is being like ruined by big business. Big pharma is very corrupt. Hospitals in certain countries are very corrupt. The housing, I mean, I'm still young, and our generation is facing a lot of problems with owning property. And really, I blame a lot of it on Orange. I blame it on over-monetization. I blame it on monetizing people's property. People need places to live, and we've just monetized the shit out of it. We've turned it into a business. Now, I'm also very open, and I realize that that might have some sort of importance that I'm not yet aware of. However, this is what Orange does. It just monetizes the shit out of everything and doesn't realize the effects that it causes and the sort of backfiring mechanisms involved, right? So this is one of the things that throws us, sort of repulses us about Orange, is that it just monetizes everything, and everything is soulless and stripped of its, even like food. Like a lot of the food we eat is not even food now, because it's just been produced to make money and to appeal to our, you know, our animal-like needs. And that is really an orange expression. It's making money and to hell with the consequences. Modern business, you know, capitalism and mobility and transport and trade and corporations and like worldwide business and so on, and like very tech-heavy business, this is an orange expression. Technology, machines, mass production, modern medicine, where, you know, we give pills out for everything, and we view the human as like a sort of machine, as like this objective thing that we can understand, and we reduce everything to sort of bodily processes. You know, if you're in pain, well, it means that this chemical or you know, you need this pill to stop you feeling it, and so on. It's based on a very reductionistic worldview, and Orange worldview is very reductionistic. Individual rights. So I've been a bit negative in the last minute or two about Orange collectively, but the rise of individual rights is something that is still novel in human history. If you compare all of human history to the last 200 or 300 years, obviously this isn't perfect, and our rights, you know, we're still fighting for more equality, and we're still working on awareness of, you know, minority groups and so on. But overall, in the last 200 or 300 years, we've made incredible strides. Even the fact of like ordinary people being able to vote, that is an orange expression. Before, if you're an ordinary person, you were a peasant, you were out farming in the fields, and the elites did, I'm not saying the elites necessarily care now, but they didn't care then, and they had no obligation to care. Now at least we have the laws in place where they have to care, and people, we can argue about the pros and cons of democracy, I'd be willing to argue about that, but we're actually starting to see the limits of democracy now. But even the idea of giving people the right to vote, for example, and there's many others that I couldn't even like go into now, I'd have to do a lot of research, but the rise of individual rights is an orange expression. Self-made millionaires and billionaires is an orange expression, because before a lot of wealth was inherited, it was to do with social position. There was not a lot of mobility in society. If you were born into the wrong caste, you were struggling. And only in modern countries is that changing. And we take it completely for granted. Image and aesthetic, you know, the modern aesthetic with the HD camera and the colors and like the design and like photography and choreography and the haircuts and so on. This is a modern expression, the modern aesthetic. We've gone from there being too few calories or not even any calories at all to having too many calories. Because we've sort of mastered production and industrialization and the use of machinery and so on, we've mastered the secrets of nature. We've actually got too many calories. We've got too much of everything right now, I think. And we're seeing the downsides of that. Too much technology, too much entertainment, too much food, too much stimulation. We're really starting to see that it affects our mental health, it affects our physical health, and past a certain point, it's just not feasible for us. Collective Orange is actually unsustainable in many ways, and we're seeing this now. Like the fact of having too much, we're seeing that it's unsustainable. Just, you know, the Orange attitude of exploitation and of putting ends before means and of sort of overlooking consequences and overlooking how our actions are very systemic and they affect multiple systems and variables and so on. We're starting to see this now with like environmental degradation and animal exploitation and all the other unhealthy aspects of Orange, like rampant inequality. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Orange, because a lot of people are claiming that Orange is kind of coming to the end of its life cycle. I don't know about that, but I know that we go through cycles collectively, and Orange will not last forever. It won't last forever in its dominant form. And right now we're struggling with a lot of the limitations of Orange. We're in quite a fascinating period, quite scary, depends on who you ask, but fascinating nonetheless. So much for the characteristics of Orange in individuals and collectives. Now, as with all spiral dynamic stages, we're going to leave Orange at some point if we continue to develop as people. It's interesting because the leaving Orange can be a particularly difficult period in a person's life. I mean, the end of all stages can be particularly difficult, but because we're entering green, which feels very different to Orange, it can feel like you're kind of losing your mind a little bit. It feels like all your success and all your autonomies, all your autonomy drives and all your, you know, this great plan you had, you know, all your status seeking, it all starts to seem very hollow, and you start to look at it like, why on earth did I spend my life doing all of this? You might become very successful and you might realize that, my goodness, material success is not really real success. I don't really feel that happy. You know, I did for a little while, you know, these things, getting like a bigger house or a nicer car, like the new watch or the suit or whatever it is, it gives you temporary pleasure, but it doesn't actually change you. It doesn't give you a lasting sense of like transformation or growth. And you just start to get sick of it. So you can go into crisis mode and you start seeing the limits of all this, and you kind of start to have the sense that things will never be the same again, which is true, but also you have to realize that you're actually changing stages. I say this because I've witnessed a lot of people myself starting to see the limitations of Orange. You know, they might have had like a successful career for a decade or two, and they've made a lot of money and they've got like a house and they they feel like they've achieved what they wanted to achieve, and they actually feel very miserable, and they realize they've just been part of the rat race for 10, 20 years, and they've kind of wasted their life. And this is kind of stereotypical, but I would say it's stereotypical for a reason, because it's just part of the human growth journey. We over-idealize success, we equate it with happiness, we over-idealize, you know, our personal goals and our, you know, how happy we're going to be when we reach them. And so inevitably, we our short-sightedness is our own undoing. I also think that we have to remember that first tier levels, I'm not saying second tier is perfect, but first tier levels are very short-sighted. It's like they are inherently short-sighted. It's like, and sort of small-minded. And I don't mean that as like a to be critical. It's just a fact. It's just when you're at first tier, when your consciousness is really wrapped up there, you really think, like at Orange, you really think that if you just reach the pinnacle of success, that is it. Like that's all there is to life. And yet when you do, you often realize that it's not the pinnacle, right? And then things go downhill big time. Orange can actually be very arrogant, and its insistence on like science and rationality and you know, logic and on practicality and pragmatism and on achievement and goal setting and all of this, it just totally inflates the value of these things, and it finds it very difficult to see other ways of doing things, and this ultimately leads to its downfall as well. When you leave Orange, you start to just get sick of Orange. You know, you get sick of like the fancy dinners, you get sick of competing with other people, you get sick of doing like shallow business, you get sick of justifying ills. You know, you cannot like justify getting a big wage in return for doing a job that isn't the most ethical in the world, for example. Like all of this just starts to seem very hollow. The idea of being successful just starts to seem very hollow. You start to care about the environment and people and emotions. You start to look inside. You start to ask deeper questions like, what really is happiness? Is happiness an external thing? What about if I start connecting with others? What if I stop competing with others? What if I start stop trying to be number one and start trying to help everyone else? Right? So I want you to look out for this shift in you, because if you're going to continue growing as a person, if you're watching this, I'm assuming you're interested in personal development, it's likely that at some point you're going to reach the end of Orange. And I tell you right now, it can be, if you're not ready for it, it can be very tough, and you might be forever stuck, sort of seeing the limitations of Orange, but never quite moving beyond them, because you're too caught up in like the crisis aspect, and you're not seeing that it's actually a shift into the dominance of green, it would be. All right. So that's all I wanted to say about Spiral Dynamic Stage Orange. I've got an accompanying article on the website. Search Stage Orange on the website and you will find it. The website is deep-psychology.com. All right. Thanks a lot for watching. If you enjoy my channel, my videos, please support me on Patreon. I've got tons of free courses on the website, tons of free materials on the website. And I also do coaching. You know, if you're trying to figure this stuff out, try to figure out your development, where you're going, where you want to get to, you're trying to understand your psychology, you want to more skillfully integrate Orange, you feel like it's lacking in your life, you want to move beyond Orange, you want to, you know, rehabilitate Orange, or if you just want to, you know, work on yourself in any of the topics that I talk about, then do contact me via the website, the contact page on the website. All right, thanks for listening to Deep Psychology, and I'll see you next time for another episode. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave a review. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email me at ross@deep-psychology.com. If you'd like to go deeper, head to deep-psychology.com for articles, courses, ebooks, and one-to-one coaching. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.